Next up on Express Yourself, I'm joined by Ed Colby, who is the president of the Colorado State Beekeepers Association, which is bringing its Summer Bee College to the Garfield County Fairgrounds in Rifle this weekend. So how are you today, Ed?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me on, Raleigh.
Thank you so much for coming in to KDNK. Now, to begin, could you fill in listeners a little bit about the Colorado State Beekeepers Association? What is this organization, and what does it do?
Well, we are an organization of beekeepers, not only commercial beekeepers, but backyard beekeepers and people we call sideline beekeepers, to promote bees and beekeeping. And this organization was founded in 1880, so we've been around for a while.
Wow. And it's a nonprofit?
It is, indeed. And so we promote bees and beekeeping, and also policies that are, we're politically active, and we promote policies that are good for pollinators. So we're active on pesticide issues. We were one of the sponsors of the unanimously passed in the Colorado legislature Pollinator Highway, which is I-76 from Denver to the Nebraska line. And basically, it's a corridor in which Department of Transportation will give special consideration to pollinators by reducing spraying, reducing mowing, planting pollinator-friendly species. And we also have, we were very active in getting a guy who wasn't too pollinator-friendly off of the beekeeper seat on the state pesticide advisory committee. And now we have someone who's much more sympathetic to bees and what it takes to make them healthy.
What first attracted you to the practice of beekeeping?
Well, I thought it was kind of a weird thing to do initially, just because they are stinging insects, you know, and I had a memory of a bad first experience stepping on a dandelion in bare feet. Uh-huh. I don't think I'm the first kid that got their first sting that way, but anyhow, I wanted bought this place in Peach Valley, or no Peach Valley, because the fruit usually freezes, but. Anyhow, I thought that bees would improve pollination on my fruit trees, and I discovered that once I got bees, that they still generally froze, not this year, but generally they froze. But I noticed something really interesting, which was that I got honey every year. So my interest went from producing fruit to producing honey.
Great. And what is the name of your personal organization or business that sells honey?
Colby Farms.
Okay. And you do other agricultural products as well?
Not so much anymore. We used to, but the farm's kind of in disarray right now, if you want to know the truth. I'm so busy with my bees, the little darlings, that I don't have time for anything else.
Now, could you fill listeners in a little bit about the trends that have been witnessed by beekeepers and non-beekeepers, but generally around the state concerning bee populations?
Yeah, you know, in general, it's just harder to keep bees alive. It used to be you could put some bees out in your backyard and you could go out and if they didn't get American foul brood or a few bad diseases, then they'd do pretty well. But now, in general, For lots of reasons, bees seem to be becoming more sensitive to a parasite called the varroa mite, and so if bees become infested with these parasites, generally, if a hive doesn't die the first year, if the beekeeper doesn't check on varroa mites, if it's susceptible to these mites, it'll die the second year. I've been wiped out a couple of times. And And an interesting thing is that the speaker, we'll talk more about this later, but the speaker who's coming to talk to us, Dr. Jonathan Lundgren, his thesis is that weakening from pesticides is the setup for bees being more sensitive to varroa mites and dying that way.
So the pesticides are potentially harming their immune system.
Exactly. I won't speak for Dr. Lundgren, but I think that's what he's going to tell us.
Well, that's a good segue to talk a little bit about the Summer Bee College that's taking place this weekend. So it includes a Friday night kind of picnic camp out, and that seems to be more informal.
Yep, that's at Colby Farm, right there in Peach Valley.
Okay, and you're inviting people to camp on the property and
That's right. We have a pretty much of an open camping policy. We'll have a porta potty. That's important, and so we're welcoming people to stay there if they like.
For listeners who are interested in making that plan, maybe rather last minute, is there sort of a cutoff time when people should stop showing up, or?
Well, I this program's airing. So in real time, I guess you're listening to this at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's when we're getting started. But if you'd like to drop by this evening, I expect we'll have people, beekeepers socializing and buzzing, so to speak, until 8 or possibly 9.
But the bulk of the conference is tomorrow on Saturday, and that's when Dr. Jonathan Lundgren is going to be speaking. Could you tell us a little bit about Dr. Jonathan Lundgren?
Yeah, he's like the biggest name in the bee world right now. He gave the keynote address at the joint meeting of the American Honey Producers and the American Beekeeping Federation in Galveston in 2017. Those are the two biggest beekeeping organizations in the United States. John was a senior scientist with the USDA, and he was the darling of the USDA. He got a special award from President Obama. Well, shortly thereafter, he started saying some politically incorrect things, like postulating a relationship between pesticides and the harm caused by varroa mites. Well, he wasn't playing nice with the bureaucrats in the USDA, and ultimately they made his life so miserable that he quit. And he started a research farm called Blue Dasher Farm. You could Google on that and learn all kinds of things about it. And his argument is that we need to change agriculture, and by changing agriculture, we can help the bees. He's not in favor of monocropping. He is in favor of crop rotation, cover crops, a more holistic approach to farming that, and this is really fascinating, he argues is better for the farmer's bottom line, because when you have a variety of crops, when you have pollinator-friendly plants growing in the vicinity, this increases natural predators and reduces the need for pesticides. But I'm not going to tell you anymore, because I'll leave John to do that, and he's the expert. I've just read a little about him, and I've met him.
And at what time is he speaking?
He's speaking. I don't have the exact times in my head, but it's approximately 11 in the morning when he will outline the problem as he sees it. And at, I believe at 1 o'clock, he will talk about his solutions to this agricultural problem.
And this is tomorrow, Saturday, June 8th?
Yep, that's correct.
Now, in addition to this keynote speaker, could you speak a little bit to the overall sort of attraction of having all these beekeepers. You mentioned to me you expect nearly 100 people or more to show up. What kind of dialogues or, you know, social happenings occurs around that?
Well, it's like any group of like-minded people. We have lots of things to talk about that nobody else would understand. It's certainly an opportunity for beekeepers to meet other beekeepers and to exchange their own experiences and what works and doesn't work as far as successful beekeeping. It's an opportunity for socialization, and there's a little bit more formal training than simply talking to the guy sitting next to you in the event center there. For example, we will have what we call the experts panel, and we'll have some beekeepers with at least one with a lifetime of experience, plus everything that he learned from his dad. That's Paul Limbach. He'll be on that panel, and we'll have some other experienced beekeepers. So if you're keeping bees, and maybe there's some burning questions that you can't figure out the answer to, you can ask these guys, and somebody like Paul, it's all second nature. You could read 10 books, or you could spend 10 minutes with Paul, and I'd recommend the latter.
So this is for not only professionals, but also enthusiasts. How about people who are interested and have not yet begun beekeeping?
Well, I think it would be great for anyone contemplating beekeeping to learn a little bit more about it before they jump in, because it's actually a fair amount of work. You know, when the bees need something, when they need you to do something to the hive that will, say, keep them from swarming or keep them from starving, or if they need room to expand so that they can create more honey, this isn't stuff that you can necessarily do at your leisure. You kind of need to do it on the bee's timetable. It's anybody who's a gardener knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, anything else that you would like to add, Ed Colby?
Well, let's see. In the afternoon, we will have an opportunity to actually dig around in some beehives, and we will have an opportunity for some instruction for people who need basic help. And Paul Limbach, whom I referred to before, will be giving a demonstration of three of the principal diseases of bees by showing frames that are contaminated with these diseases. The worst, the most famous, American foulbrood. A second, still a serious problem, but not as bad, a European foulbrood, and another condition called chalkbrood. So there again, that's, you can read all the books you want about it, but to have Paul hand you a frame and go, this is how you do a test to tell if you have American foulbrood, you can't beat that kind of experience.
Where can people find out more information or register?
ColoradoBeekeepers.org, and then you click on the events button. There is today an opportunity to pre-register. Today is the last day for a discount on the admission, and it also gives us an opportunity to have a head count. So if you want to come to the spaghetti dinner in Silt at Burning Mountain Pizza and Subs, or if you want to have lunch, we can get you a lunch ticket if you can sign up today.
Ed Colby, president of the Colorado State Beekeepers Association, thank you so much for coming in to talk about this event. Sounds really exciting for anybody who's remotely interested in beekeeping.
Okay, well, if anybody is remotely interested, I strongly encourage them to show up. And maybe we can talk you out of it, or maybe we can talk you into it. But a little information never hurts.
All right. Anything you want to say for listeners who maybe can't attend this conference but are concerned about how to protect our local pollinator species?
Yes. Don't mow or poison those dandelions, please. And talk to your local nursery about the best pollinator-friendly plants that you can plant. You don't have to keep bees to help them. Forage is very important, and that's something, and planting pollinator-friendly flowers is something everyone who has a yard can do.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Raleigh.